All right, this is, I think I say this pretty much every year. I love this. This is, I kind of do this every January at some point, one of my favorite times to share, because I just get to talk about this church. We started this church about 8 years ago, and I mean, I think over the past 8 years, I've just given, new air conditioning, see that? Yeah, it's nice. I gave my life to this church, and I just like to talk about our church and what it's like for our family. It's funny, when we met 2 weeks ago and we talked about just being present, we talked about not getting too anxious about the future, we talked about not getting overstressed about the past and just living kind of in this present moment, being with Christ. And this is as powerful and as impactful as that teaching was. This is kind of the opposite, where we do look back and say, hey, this is what we've done, and we do look forward and say, hey, this is where we want to be. So everything that you learned 2 weeks ago, you have to forget so you can learn new things this week. So... the thing that I always start off with, though, is I want to talk about the vision of our church, kind of where we started, what we're all about, and perhaps you've been here since the beginning, and so this is part of the redundancy school of redundancy, and you've just heard this again and again, but hear me again and again and again on this, because this is what we want to be about. Can't be stated enough. And so the vision of our church, I found this very nice. See, if you have that, maybe if I tilted it the other way, that picture would have really lined everything up. We literally, and I've always said this, we just take the words of Jesus, right? We just say, Jesus, well, when you talked and when you talked and when you taught, what was the most important thing? What was the greatest thing? And so the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. And so they called a meeting to discuss how to trap Jesus. And then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second one is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. And then Paul kind of piggybacks on this as well too. In Romans, Paul says this, just another beautiful verse here. He says, don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And every other commandment can be summed up in these words. Love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. Love makes it impossible to harm another, so love fulfills all that the law requires. Again, we've talked that there was 613 laws, and they would often have debates and conversations, which one is the greatest, which one has the most weight, how do you rank all these laws? And so Jesus says, if you want to just say what is the fulcrum of everything, it's love, to love God and to love one another. N.T. Wright, I like the way that he puts it. He says, that, after all, is what being a Christian is all about. Loving Jesus with an undying love in response to his dying love for us. I've used the phrase too, I think I used this last week, one of the phrases that I've substituted for this word love, because again, this word love just kind of gets generic and overused. One of the phrases that I've used was this word rugged commitment. Does anybody remember that word rugged commitment? We read a book, I think last year, called Fellowship of Difference by a guy named Scott McKnight. Scott McKnight used this phrase, rugged commitment. Because when we talk about love, we're not just talking about kind of an emotional state that we might or might not feel. When we talk about love the way that Christ talked about love, this phrase rugged commitment kind of fills in a little bit better for that love. And so what we want to do is we want to love Jesus. We want to have that tenacity, that kind of aggressiveness. Like, man, I gotta put something into this. There's this commitment, this rugged commitment. And then we want to have that towards one another. This is the rugged commitment. This is what it means to love. And so Jesus says it, Paul says it, using N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright's quote says it, that we would have this rugged commitment to Jesus. right? That we are all in for Jesus, and whatever it takes is tenacity for Jesus, because he has this rugged commitment to you and I, right? Despite what we've done, despite where we've been, despite our mistakes, despite all the things that we've gone through, Jesus continually has a rugged commitment to us. Now, then we take that phrase, we take this kind of loving God and loving others, and then we ask ourselves, well, how does that lived out in our church? How do we do that, right? Because, again, this word love kind of can be a generic word. It can be like, hey. So the way that we did it is, and I don't know if you guys remember, we got to talk about coffee mugs for a little bit. You guys anybody remember this coffee mug? Who remembers it? Yeah? Two people? A couple? I meant to bring it this morning. This is the one that I used to have. The chip, right? And this coffee mug, if you turn it around, it has a chip and the crack in it. And it was kind of almost a parable for me when I would teach, because I've often said that even though the coffee mug had that big chip in it and it was cracked, it was still a useful vessel. And so when I would stand up here and teach and give sermons and pastor and whatnot, it was a parable to me to say, or a metaphor for me to say, even though myself I am cracked and I am chipped and I am blemished, I'm still a useful vessel to God. So sometimes I'm teaching and I'm just like, man, this is just pathetic that what you're doing this morning. And I would look at that coffee cup and I'd be like, okay, Eric, this might not be perfect. It might not be polished. It might not all be together, but it still is useful. And so the problem though with that coffee cup is that I got two new coffee cups for Christmas. I got this treasure from my daughter Jeanette, which has, you know, she wants to know if I, so this one did not get used today. And then a good friend of mine gave me this very nice stainless steel, double insulated thermal wall, has a heater underneath it that automatically heats up your coffee to the perfect, I don't know, it doesn't have that, just making that up. But Mr. Grimens gave me this very nice Christmas. So I have these two new coffee cups. So now if I show up with my like busted up coffee cup, I would feel a little more guilty. So anyway, maybe I'll like ding this one and chip this one or do something like that. But here's my new coffee cup. So on this coffee cup though that we had and we had given out to a bunch of people, there is these four words on it. It says worship and prayer and service and community. And the way that we kind of live this out is the way that we love God, right? The way that we want to envision ourselves loving God is through worship and through prayer. And then the way that we want to envision ourselves and live out loving others is through service and community. Let me spend a few moments on each word, worship. The classical understanding of worship, the classical sense of worship, is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, giving to the poor, right? You know, a lot of times when we think about worship, we just think about music time when Brian kind of comes up. Like, that's there's preaching and there's worship, right? The classical understanding, the way that the early church would have understood worship would have been prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And so one of the things that we're trying to do here, though, and I'm going to talk about music time in a little bit, is worship ends up our total life orientation towards the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? You will become like that which you worship. Let me say that again. You will become like that which you worship. If you worship food, what will you become? A foodie, right? You'll become this great, oh, I love this food. I got this restaurant. I've been to this place, and I use this special ingredient, and I have this kitchen appliance. You'll become this foodie. If you worship the Los Angeles Raiders, not the Oakland or the Las Vegas Raiders, but if you worship a particular sports team and you give all your time and your attention and all your energy towards a particular sports team, you will become more and more involved in that sports team, right? If you worship your children, if you worship your a relationship, your car, you'll become like that which you worship. Worship is a total life orientation. What we're trying to do is orient our lives towards the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, worship, as we've come to understand it, also involves music time, right? There's also kind of this music piece of it. And so as we think about music, I wanted to just kind of pause here because this is an appropriate time. Brian, I hope this doesn't embarrass you too much. I want to talk about you. I'm going to talk about Brian for a second.
That's fine.
Okay. I wanted to talk about Brian because Brian, as we think about our... Good morning, Isan.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk about Brian because... Mr. Brian DeShawn has been filling in for Matt Beckelman. As you guys may or may not know, Matt, he started a schooling program, and he's at UCLA 2 days a week, full-time, and Matt is on his way to becoming a nurse practitioner, which is basically a doctor without the MD at the end of it. So he's doing all these really intense classes and labs and residences and all this kind of stuff that he's in this two-year program. So Matt's been doing that, and Brian and I had talked and said, hey, Brian, can you fill in for Matt and kind of take in for Matt during this time? And so Brian was like, yeah, I can do that. So as Brian does that, and I was thinking, I was like, man, I was thinking about Brian, we're so, again, blessed is the generic term, and I don't really like that. We're lucky, we're fortunate. We are so happy to have Brian lead us. And here's what the word that came to mind when I thought about Brian leading us. Brian leads our church in music with humility. And here's what I mean by that. There isn't this big performance, right? We don't, fortunately or unfortunately, depends on what side of the fence you fall on it. We don't have the fog machine and the laser light show going on. Although Brian and I have, we don't have the confetti cannons shooting off while, you know, the smoke. Brian, one of the things I've always loved, Brian and I have been friends for 15 years. One of the things that I've always loved, and I've sang along to Brian for 15 years, Brian leads with humility. It's hype-free. It's there's no coercion. And it's, to me, it's so easy to focus on Christ while Brian sings. And so, again, public thank you. But thank you, Brian, because as Brian sings, again, there's not all this distraction going on. Brian sings with humility, and he is only here to point us, again, our hearts and our minds and our souls to worship Christ. And I love that Brian, over the years and years, and I've thought about and I've sang with him for years and years and years, that, again, it's just simple. He just leads us humbly towards the presence of Christ. So one of the things that we do, and the way that we, again, our loving God, is through worship. My daughter woke me up this morning. No, she woke up this morning singing these silly songs from one of the cartoons that she currently watches. And to hear your child sing, right? And even when it's just silly little songs or whatever it is, it's so it just puts a smile on any parent's face. And when we gather together and we're singing to God, that's what we're doing, is, God, we love you, and we're just singing these songs to you, and we just want to wake you up in the morning, sing these songs, and bless you. So anyway, Brian, thank you for filling in. Thank you for the way that you lead us. We're so grateful to have you here, and just really appreciate that. The next part of that is prayer. Prayer, as Mr. E. Stanley Jones says, and I like that, E. Stanley, so I might just start going by E. John Williams. I don't know if that would work for y'all, but if you want to just start calling me E. John Williams. Prayer is our aligning ourselves with the purposes of God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is aligning ourselves with the purposes of God. Martin Luther, not the one who will celebrate tomorrow, the one that lived a couple hundred years ago, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. So let's do a little exercise here. Let's all hold our breath and see how long we can live, okay? Do that. We'll see how long we can live. At some point, if you hold your breath, you'll either pass out. So to be a Christian without praying is the same principle, right? Is that it's as natural as breathing is to us, is as natural as prayer should be to us, as vital as prayer should be to us. And so we want to continue to be a church that prays. One of the things that's happened over the past year is we've I think sometime around the fall, the prayer in our church just kind of went like this, and it kind of tapered off. And we stopped meeting on Sunday mornings to gather for prayer. The prayer list that we did kind of tapered off. And so I just was like, man, we need to reengage this piece, and we need to make this, again, we want to align ourselves with the purposes of God. It's not here, and it's not what Eric wants, and it's not what this church thinks is relevant. It's God, what purpose do you have for me? What purpose do you have for this church? I want to get on your page. It's not about, God, hey, I got all these things going on. Get on my page and come help me out. I want to align myself with your purposes. So again, as I announced this morning, we're going to gather again at 9:45, and we'll pray for this church. We'll pray for one another at 9:45. And if like If for you praying aloud is intimidating, you don't have to pray aloud. You can come and just join in, and you can even just come and share your request and say, hey, this is what's on my heart. This is what's going on in my mind. This isn't the, hey, the prayer competition to where we all like say like, yeah, that was Cass, you had a really nice prayer. Mark, your prayers were, man, I don't know about those. This is just us gathering together and aligning ourselves with the purposes of God. And if you can pray and pray out loud, that's wonderful. And if not, you just want to gather and be prayed over. That's happening at 9:45. The second piece about prayer is that Mark is going to re-engage the monthly prayer sheet that we had been putting together. So if you have prayer requests, and I'll continue to announce this, and I'll try and remember this in the weekly emails as well, that you can either email or text to Mark, or you can just drop it in the offering box if you wanted to write it on a piece of paper, and Mark will collect those, and each month we'll have a new sheet for prayer that you'll be able to know the needs and the requests of one another, and you can pray over those as much or as little as you want. They're helpful for me because sometimes I try and think through everybody in the church and pray for people, and sometimes I just get distracted or I forget or I don't know. But when I have it printed out and I'm able to look at it, it's helpful for me to be able to see what to pray over. All right? That's the way we love God, is we love Him through prayer. We align ourselves with His purposes. We love Him through worship. The way that we love one another is through service and community. And I just want our church to continue. One of the calling cards of our church, think about it, for 8 years, 4 times a year, our church continues to get out there and serve, right? We just came out of the Christmas season where everybody's all hyped up to get out there and serve and do something great and do something wonderful. And then what happens in March? Everybody forgets about it. What happens in July? Nobody's interested in serving. So that we say as a church that we want to continue to serve all throughout the year, we want to make that a priority, that that's one of the most important things that we can do as a church. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you will have to become a what? A servant, right? And so we want to continue to serve. And I just think about the way that we've served over the past year. We have that. I'm so proud of our outstanding commitment to Brookdale and to the folks who go there. I was there last in December when we served there. And to watch all the little kids running around and the grandmas pulling cheeks and the smiles that were brought, and then people were bringing snacks and treats and everything that was happening. I'm so happy that our church, again, the people at Brookdale, you know, Jesus says, when you love the least of these, right, you're loving me. When we're over there loving the people in Brookdale, who again, maybe kids visit them, maybe not. Maybe they get to see little children, maybe not. But when we're over there loving them, we are loving Jesus Himself. We served Brookdale. We talked about our service at the Long Beach Rescue Mission that we also did in December. We have served in this place, and again, if you were to be here 8 years ago and think about what this place looked like, who was I talking to that? Was I talking to you guys about the bricks?
Oh, yeah.
The fake brick color that was all on this back wall? So if you guys ever want to see it, we did save the... It's right here. This was like this little piece of wood that we put right here with the old fake bricks. Just Denny Flanagan was like, oh, I miss the old fake bricks. And so we saved this little piece. So if you want to know what it looked like, go look right there. That's the old fake bricks.
There was a wrecking ball, too.
There was a giant wrecking ball coming through the fake bricks, and it said Teen Wreck Hall, and it was this kind of airbrushed kind of looking thing. I mean, it was glorious in its own self. Maybe it's actually coming back into style right now, that we, if we were to put it back up there, it would be back in style.
It reminded me of Jerry Springer.
It reminded you of Jerry Springer? I'll have to go like see if I can find a... like a picture of Jerry Springer. And I know I have a picture of the old rec hall. Maybe I'll put that up for the anniversary and we'll do a side-by-side comparison. But I mean, this place has been transformed, really, right? I mean, all the walls have been painted. We've done so much work here and there that we've redid the bathrooms, the back, all that new stuff. We just praise Jesus. We just got heating and air conditioning back. And so we're so thankful to have this place. But the hours that people have given here, we're thankful for. And then 4th of July, right? The great outreach that we do for 4th of July. I wanted to talk too about don't want to talk about it here. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Last year, I stood up here at this exact time when I talked about the state of the church, and I said, I want to challenge our church, every single person in this church, to serve alongside in the kids' ministry, right? And I said, you know, people say, well, it's maybe not my gift or whatever. I said, I want you to take your gifts, whatever they might be, and I want you to go see the kingdom of God through the kids' ministry. Jesus says, whoever welcomes a child in my name is literally, again, welcoming me. And so everybody who's gone and served in the kids' ministry, myself included, I even snuck in there one Sunday. It's what a gift. And thankful to Marlene, specifically thankful to Dustin, who's putting so much of that weight on their shoulders. And again, all the folks who have served in the kids' ministry, we serve. And then the other ones that I was going to talk about was just our church, just looking to continue to serve one another at our church. And we're always looking to expand. So if you see something, if you see a need in the neighborhood, if there's something that comes to mind, if you know of someone who needs help, our next serve day is March 30th, I believe. So if something comes up, if you know of something, we will continue to serve. Community, that week in community. Our midweek Bible study, which will start up again. The picnics that we do here. The Waffle Sunday. We meet concerts in the park. The Christmas tree lighting that Molly and Ronnie invited everyone to their home. Our camping trip. And then I think to me the most important piece of that community part of our vision is our second Sunday gathering. Meeting together in someone's home. Getting to know somebody on a different basis. Watching one another interact with kids when the kids irritate you, right? Just getting to know somebody on that deeper level. Because we come on Sunday morning, and we smile, and we say hi to one another, and we're all happy. But really just getting to know somebody in that smaller group setting that happens in the home is one of the big ways that our church continually builds community. If you're involved in a second Sunday group, you know that. And if you're not, I say this is, to me, that second Sunday is one of the most important pieces of our church. So continue to make that a priority for you, gathering in that second Sunday. The next piece I want to talk about, which I am going to postpone, I'm going to punt this one until I think next week. I want to talk about our finances. And two things come up with our finances. Number one, I wanted to have all the financial 2017-18 comparison side by side. The woman who does our accounting had a death in the family, was at a funeral last weekend, and so she's just been unable to pull together our kind of side by side comparison. And so what I'll probably do is I'm hoping to get that by next weekend, and I'll spend maybe just a few minutes talking about our finances. And then also, I was in that vein as we kind of talk about our finances. One of the calling cards of our church, I think, is that the money that comes in, we redistribute back to you so you can go be generous to those in need, right? So money that comes into the church, instead of it all just staying stuck here in the church and kind of in our own little pool, is, and we've done this over the years, we've given away $50, we've given away $100, we've given it back to you, and then you go be generous to those in need, and however you want to do that. And so I think we're going to pull all that. Hopefully all that will get pulled together. I'll be able to talk collectively about all our financial information next week. This verse has kind of been one of the calling cards for our church, because it's possible to give away and become richer. It's so counterintuitive to the ways that we think. It's also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich by watering others. He waters himself. So next week, we'll just put all those financial pieces together. We'll give away money next week. We're going to give everybody in this church at least $50. And again, the point of that will be just go bless someone. Go be generous to someone. Generosity will bring you, generosity just brings so much joy. And I want everybody to have that opportunity. So I'll talk a little bit more about that week. So I'm going to just, like I said, I will push that one off to next week. Cool. Talk a couple other things. We're almost done. We're going to be done early. Kids are going to be super happy. I want to talk about our board, our church board. We have some new board members this year. Mr. Rob Glisson has been a board member since day negative one. Technically, he was a board. I would consider him a board member before the church began. He was one of the first persons who I said, "Hey, I think the Lord's calling me to start this church up here in Garden Grove. What do you think?" And he's like, "I think we could do that." So Rob's been a board member for all 8 years, and even before that. And then Molly Schaefer came on, so there's a little bit of a family alliance that's happened on the board meetings lately. It's kind of a little Game of Thrones-ish, even though I have no idea what the Game of Thrones is all about. It just kind of feels like this little, maybe Sopranos might be the better. Now, Molly's joined our board, and we're so thrilled to have Molly on our board. Jesse Alvarez has also joined our board this year. Dustin Grimenz has joined our board this year, and then I'm also a board member. And then I didn't put him up there specifically, but Lou Davies, some of you folks know Lou Davies, who was at the part of our church at the beginning. We just kind of view him as a board member emeritus, and when he's able to make it, we include him on the board stuff, and he's always had a great perspective for our board, so we appreciate Lou. So there are some board members. And then this is where I wanted to get to. I wanted to talk, every time our church board gets together, regardless of all the other things we got on the agenda, we talk about one thing. And that's our kids ministry. And I have this picture from our kids ministry, which this picture was taken. Dustin, would you take that picture? Was that you or who? Was that Marlene?
I think it's Marlene.
Again, I think that what's happening back there with our kids ministry, and for me, again, this picture is summed up. I mean, I could just crop every other child out there.
There's no boys in there.
No, there's two boys.
Yeah. Junior.
On the table.
Right there, look at those. Those are men. You're right, there's no boys. There's two men right there. Those are grown men right there. And I look at this picture, and again, I just see my daughter here. And again, teaching our kids to worship God, to love and worship God. Honest to goodness, we could sit here for an hour and a half and do nothing and look at each other. And knowing that our kids back there are getting to know Jesus, learning about Jesus, learning the story of the Bible. They're going through right now the entire narrative of the Bible. And they're learning that. The kids are learning. They come home, they have their little cards, and they tell us this thing's happening and that thing's happening. And so knowing that our kids' ministry, again, I said Dustin, I said Marlene, I said every single person in this church who's come and who's served and who's been a part of our church, and we said, hey, go into the kids' ministry. Go observe. Observe the kingdom of God through their eyes. Welcome them the way that Jesus welcomed them. It's such a gift for our church. So thank you for the kids' ministry. And then that's it. I got a few personal notes, and then we'll wrap it up. 2018, I wanted to talk about that kind of personally for me and just kind of what that was like as a pastor. 2018, my wife and I, going on 13 years of marriage. We got away back there in October. I know, and just, you guys know me, I'm skinny and follically challenged and
lanky.
Give me some more. And I'm blessed, and my wife is a servant to this church. She's been on board with this church, and she was on board with these ministry when we did it together. So I'm so thankful to have her as kind of a partner in this, and such a great gift in this. And if she was here, maybe you guys should all just talk to her. Your husband was just raving about you in the sermon today. It was just so wonderful. We celebrated 13 years of marriage, and then our family too. This year has been.
Here you go.
Huh?
Here you go.
They're going. You see me all the time, right?
Yeah.
This year, the joke around our house, and it, you know, Julia's actually can quote it now because I say it so many times. Alice is 2, Jeanette is 4, Julia is 7. So the joke at our house, and you know, everybody's like, "Well, how's?" It's 24/7, right? 2, 4, and 7. It's 24/7, and it's just been good. And so this year, I've felt this because you guys know I do the stay at home dad in the church, and I feel like the stay at home dad has been 24/7, and I've been trying to keep my head above water with the church as well too, and trying to balance those responsibilities. And I know that I know I'm going to look back at this and be like, oh man, these were the wonderful, most wonderful years of my life. In the midst of it, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm drowning. And but there, I think that this year, as far as how difficult, say, 24/7 2018 kind of was, or demanding maybe as it was, there's kind of this shift that's happening in our house where next year, Julia's in school full-time. Next year, Jeanette will be in school full-time. Next year, Alice will be in school part-time. And so there's going to be days when I'll just be sitting at home all by myself, no one to bug me, no one to tell me to come wipe them, no one to tell me, make me a sandwich, I'm hungry, can I have a snack? And then I'll just be sitting at my desk crying, Esau, and I'll just be weeping. So, I think personally, again, as I think kind of this 24/7 period might be shifting into 358, I don't know if that means anything, 853, 538, doesn't. But as it shifts, I'm looking forward to, I think, this coming year and being able to give the church, as kind of some of the stay-at-home dad responsibilities wane, giving the church even a little bit more attention, a little bit more love. And so looking forward to that, again, personally. One other thing that's happening is this is the group that I did the apprentice experience with. And we kind of graduated those 4-week-long, residencies. And so that was back in March that I finished that. I have 2 more classes. I just started my penultimate class. I have this class that I'm in right now, and I have 1 more class. And I'll be graduating with my master's degree in Christian spiritual formation. So I'm almost done with that as well, which is, I'm pretty pumped up about that. And so personally, yeah, it's been a big year. And then I wrote these 2 words too, discouragement and encouragement. I think there was some discouragement that's kind of come up for me over this past year as well too. It's not all been smiles and sunsets. One of the thing has been we've seen quite a few families leave over the past year, right? And for a small church, that's a huge deal, right? So, Donna, we lost your daughter and son as they moved up to Crestline.
Running Springs.
They, and again, moved away and they found a wonderful home up there and are doing well up there. And then we lost, I wrote them all down. The Stones commuting in from Riverside bought a house a little bit farther out of Riverside, which was just kind of the step too far, and they found a church out there that they're attending and that they're involved in their neighborhood. We talked about them sending down kind of geographical roots out there, and now they're starting to set down some spiritual roots. And we still love Elliot and Maria. I think I've told you Elliot's going to come and share next week, so he's going to be giving the sermon next week. So we just get to see them again, and they've kind of moved. And then we lost Nathan and Nikki Scott. Nathan took a job up in Washington at SpaceX, which I was reading the news this week.
Yeah.
And SpaceX basically just wiped out an entire division. Nathan was part of that, so he lost his job up there. So if you think of Nathan and Nikki, and I reached out to him and I said, hey, are you okay? And he's like, no, our whole division is what's that?
Just marking to Brian, I was wondering if he was involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
3,800.
Yeah, so he was involved in that. So if you think about them and you want to reach out to them, and any of these families too, I think it's really kind if you reach out. The Stones, Matt and Stacy Kinney, moved up to Auburn, California, and are doing wonderful up there. Kathleen has moved on to another church. There was, and again, it's funny, that picture that I took with Robin at our anniversary weekend was like kind of a culmination of like, whoa, there's like a lot of people that have left. We talked about our finances were struggling at that time too, and I was facing some real discouragement. And yet, right, there's that kind of ... that Christ always has in our life, right? It's not done. There's been some incredible encouragement over this past year too. So I think as we've seen families leave, we've seen new families come into our church, and I think of Joel and Shannon. You guys have been committed to our church, and we're so grateful for you. I think of our newest married couple, Kat and Devin, being a part of our church. I think of, they're not here this morning, but Tony and Jessica Nguyen, and their children are being a part of our church. Again, not here this morning, but our buddy Robbie, who's been a part of our church and who's been coming and who's really getting to know and grow in the Lord. And so there's been so much encouragement in all these new families that the Lord has brought to our church. As we've seen some of the finances struggle, and we had a tough year financially. Again, I didn't get to talk into all about this morning, but our finances, we had a board meeting this week, and we looked at some of the numbers. Some new folks have kind of been contributing to our church to help kind of stabilize our finances a little bit. We want to continue to operate in the black, which we weren't for a long time, and so I think we want to continue to do that over this next year. And then, you know, we also kind of lost Matt Beckelman this year to his program, and then I've said enough about Brian, but Brian's stepped up. And then as I was looking over the year, I was looking through the Facebook photos on our church Facebook page and just kind of looking over some of the wonderful things that our church has done personally, some of the wonderful things that our church has done. And again, I'm just so thankful for God for all the things that he's done. And we're going to get together and we're going to celebrate this in the next couple weeks. But I'm just so thankful as we go into our eighth year for all the wonderful things that God has done, continues to do in this church. We're not a big church. I don't know if we'll ever be a big church. This might be it for our church, you know. But I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful that there's a presence in this neighborhood in the name of Jesus. I'll close with I guess, this thought. I think I have a little picture here. And let's just, you don't got to turn there. I'll go to Psalm 23. One of my favorite thoughts about Psalm 23. You guys all probably know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Anybody remember that next line?
He leadeth me.
You skipped one line.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
What's the next thing?
He makes
me lie down in green pastures. Yeah, makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, when we read that verse and we close our eyes, we think probably about the Microsoft Windows 95 background. That beautiful grassy hill. Is it 95 or was that XP or what was that?
I think it was 95.
Vista, whatever operating system Microsoft used. Now you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, right? So we kind of close our eyes and we just imagine ourselves rolling down the hill like a 7-year-old child and, you know, just kind of big old batches of grass, and we're just there, I have all this grass around me. And so I'll never forget this. There's this historian, and his name is Ray Vanderlaan, and he leads tours over to Israel, and he talks about the green pastures, and he says, you know, as a shepherd would lead his sheep through green pastures, like you go to the Middle East, that's not Windows 95, right? It's the desert out there. That's what the Middle East is. And he says that the green pastures that he talks about is these little, a shepherd would lead the sheep on hillsides that would look like this, and there's these little tufts of grass that just kind of pop up, and so the sheep kind of wander and they just eat that little piece of grass, and then they go find the next little piece of grass, and it's just the moisture that kind of comes through the night. It just kind of sits there and collects, and so for a shepherd, this is what the green pastures would kind of look like. You would maybe look like a hill and you say, no, it's just rocks and dirt. But in and amongst all that rocks and dirt is just these little green tufts of grass that the sheep, they have a bite and they just kind of wander, and they take another bite and they just kind of keep going and they take another bite. And so Vanderlaan just kind of points out, he's like, when you think about your Christian life, right? How many people is like, yeah, just God just plopped me down in the midst of all this grass and I don't even have to move. I just can turn my head and just chew and turn my head the other way and just chew and just roll and chew. And he says, what life is more like is that we kind of wander through some of the arid places, and we're trusting that the shepherd is leading us to enough grass until we to keep us going, right? Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer. What's the metaphor there in the Lord's Prayer? Give us our what?
Daily bread.
Our daily bread, right? Jesus didn't say, hey, just give me a storehouse full of bread so I never have to do anything again. He gives us enough for the day. He gives us enough for the moment. And so I was thinking about that kind of concept as we wrapped up this time, is that day by day, And we've seen this in this church. Day by day, say month by month, year by year, God has provided enough. He's been enough. There's been daily bread for this church. There's been that little bit of grass until we can find the next little piece of grass. God hasn't just said, here's a $75 million endowment, just lay there and just don't worry about anything. Here's a brand new church facility with laser light show and cannons and a full 17-piece orchestra. Just enjoy. God gives us enough, right? Here's one more. Joel Osteen of West Garden Grove. There he is, just delivering sermons in perfect hair with fine three-piece. He gives us enough to keep moving. That's life. That's life in the kingdom. And we trust God that we might have this. It looks like nothing, but he'll give us a bite, and he'll lead us to the next bite, and he'll lead us to the next bite, and he'll lead us to the next bite. And that's what it is for us in this year. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I lack nothing. I can lie. I can trust in those green pastures that he's provided for me. I think that's about all I got. Let me say a word of prayer and we'll close up.
Can you do a couple of prayers before?
Let's do it.
And maybe some prayer requests.
Mm-hmm.
We've been praying for the last months. I mean, owning a home has been a really hard thing for us, but we've been blessed with some help from Brian and helping us get our truck sold. That happened this week, which was a huge blessing, which will allow us to kind of get caught up. And then my friend Megan, who I talked about a couple weeks ago, that was in the early stages of finding out that she had breast cancer, she is having a double mastectomy on February 5th. So pray for her and her family, and
yeah, let's just open that up then. Anybody else got something? Prayer or praise or?
Back to service for the church. I'm talking with Ted Hicks, who's the head of volunteer coordination at Long Beach Rescue Mission. And there's a need for Sunday evenings providing meals to Lydia House, which is their ministry to women, as well as women and children. Sunday evening meal, we can come and provide it, we can bring a meal, but it would be as much as we want to do, like once a month, or it could be once a quarter, but it would be, you know, consistent service. So let's talk about that and maybe get some commitment. It can be men and women that can go. It doesn't have to be just women. It doesn't have to be that many, just enough to be able to do the meal.
How many people are you talking?
It's quite a few. I think it's like 50 or 60 people, so it'd be a big pot of chili or something.
I don't know anybody. I didn't even mention the chili cook-off. I forgot about that.
That's right.
Okay.
So is the need to, like, cook the meal or just serve the food that they have?
It could be, it would be cooking the meal and serving it. It could be going there early and using their ingredients or bringing in prepared food and just warming it up there. And that could be also an opportunity for, if we want to go a little bit earlier and actually do the Bible study devotional that they have every Sunday evening there as well. So it's a great opportunity to serve some needy women and as well as children and extend our service in a consistent way outside of West Garden Grove.
Yeah, I had a vision, or I want to see if we can roll that into a second Sunday, so I think we talked about that.
Instead of around the middle of the day, it would be,
just meet in the evening.
Late afternoon,
and, like, yeah.
4:45, 5:30.
And your home group would make a meal and take it over there.
We can move. Yeah. Whatever home group you're in, yep. You know, kind of rotate, so it's not all on one home group.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Cass. Anything else?
Can I get prayers for my sister Marianne? She is currently homeless and is waiting for housing. So she's in the shelter right now. So.
Is she local then?
Santa Monica now.
Santa Monica, okay.
Yeah. Pray for Joe. Joe's on the right track, so he's going to go to HVAC school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday he starts training. Heating, ventilation, air conditioning course at Harbor Occupational Center in Long Beach. He got a grant that pays for his tuition and his books, and that's a big, big blessing for him. So yeah, just pray to continue to hook Joe up. And also he finishes up his one-year program with Long Beach Rescue Mission in April, and pray that he successfully that as well as his training.
Yeah.
So. Because that's a strict sobriety, you know, he's been sober, which is great.
Our friend Dwayne, he lives down in San Diego, but Joel has been assisting him in trying to get him a job. He's been living out of his car for the last 3 months, and we saw him a couple weeks ago. Invited him over after the race and gave him a warm place to sleep for the night, and then they've been in constant communication, and he's in the hiring process to get a job, so let's maybe just pray that everything follows through and that can be successful for him. He was working for UPS during the holidays, and then that got cut off.
He knew it was temporary, but it was something.
Yeah.
So, he's a really good guy. Yeah. Really good guy, and he needs a break.
All right, let me lead us in a prayer. And then, Brian, I think we're ready for some music time as well. Let me lead us in a prayer over these requests. And again, Lord, as we started, we just asked for your help. There's economic conditions, there's health conditions, job situations. Lord, all these folks that were just mentioned, God, you're here in this room listening, engaging us. And so, Lord, we just ask for your help. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to look back on our lives and see all the help that you've provided, seeing all your faithfulness. We thank you for that. Help us to trust in that, to keep our hope firmly focused on you. And we pray all these things again in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Holy Spirit.